Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. John Stamey live from the sun and fun capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it's time for ScaryCast. Boy, do we have a great show tonight. Got a lot of excitement. First of all, I would like to introduce our guests, the queen of ScaryCast, the one and only Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am fantastic. Glad to be here. I'm excited about our guest tonight. I just met him recently, and I'm already a big fan.
Well, that's good. And so we're going to have a grand time. So always glad to have you. And then none other than the superstar from last night's Wrestling Tonight podcast that Chaz Moretti and I hosted, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
Great to be here with you all. Just happy to be healthy and sound, and hope you all are too. I'm sorry.
Yes, Rob.
Mr. Robin.
I said, hey, sweetheart.
Yeah. Good, good. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
I'm good. You got to come back and visit me.
Yeah, I miss you.
You haven't been here in a while.
Right.
Yeah,
well, we're all
I've been
be getting
so busy. Oh, my God. I just relaunched my website and been doing a bunch of things. So, yeah, it's been crazy. But I'm back.
We're glad you are. So what that is the stro.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody go to the stro.com after the show. Absolutely everybody, we want to get those hits up. So that's wonderful. Now tonight, we've got a new friend. Robin and I were in Lexington busy launching a new venture. And at the location we were, We met this guy. He was our next door neighbor, but he turned out to be one of the nicest people you could ever meet. And his name is Dallas Woodard. And then I mentioned the word wrestling, and I don't think we ever stopped talking. So, ladies and gentlemen, meet Dallas. He's a great guy. How are you doing tonight, Dallas?
I'm very, 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 very excited to be live here tonight with you guys and to be with such a wonderful legend. And I used to watch him growing up, and my mom actually used to beat me out to the front room of my bed at night because I was a real big wrestling fan back in the 80s and 70s.
Yeah, well, that's great. We've all been a big wrestling fan of Papa Stro's, and it just never ends. He gets better and better.
Well, I'm going to
put
this out here that when he finally gets a break in schedule and comes back down to spend another weekend, as he's done in the past, everybody can like meet up all over here, Dallas. You can come over and you can help. You can just hang out with us and all the craziness that goes on here.
Oh, that'd be great.
I would really love that. And then if you guys don't mind, I'd really like to tell this gentleman, thank you for so many years of your sport entertainment with the WWF, WWE. It really, really meant a lot to me and my friends and family.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means a lot. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
He has brought joy and cheer to everybody. He really has, Dallas. And I'm glad you're on the Papa Stro freight train. He's been wonderful. He's helped a lot of people. He helps charities. He helps kids. He does great things for people. And that's what we just like having him around. I mean, you know,
we
you get somebody
him.
With this kind of great karma. I mean, it's wonderful. Now, what I'd like to do, because we've got kind of like a two-pronged show. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about wrestling. Now, when you and I were talking, it was Saturday, Dallas, and you said,
yeah.
I have got a funeral program from one of the great lady wrestlers of all time. And I said, well, I want to see it. And the Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, you were right there at our location. And you said, here it is. And, oh, my God, it was the funeral program from Johnny Mae Young, one of the greatest lady wrestlers of all time.
It was fantastic.
Just a super friend of the fabulous Moolah. And if everybody will go right now to Scarycast on Facebook, you will see all of those pictures that that we took. And Robin, thank you for your timeliness to help us get the pictures from Johnny Johnny May Young's funeral program. It's really wonderful. And in fact, I'm going to go there right now. In fact, I think I may have it up already. And Papa Stro, I know that you knew May Young. I know you knew her, and she was just other than being a tough old bird, she was pretty cool, wasn't she, Papa Stro?
Oh, absolutely. Her and Fabulous Moolah were always great to me, and you know, I did a few shows with them, and a funny story brought it up. One night they were tagging against two guy wrestlers, right? And the guy wrestlers, these were the two young boys, right? And they were like, they made a bet with me that they can blow them up in the ring. And I went back and I told them about the bet they made with me, right? And they, Lula and May was like, well, hey, well, get ready to collect some cash, because we're going to blow those young pups up real good for you. And sure enough, they wore those two guys out, Moolah and May Young, be the Lord. And after I won the bet, I ended up giving the money to them. I was like, look, I didn't need the money, but I just thought it was funny that they were trying to bet with me that they could blow up Moolah and May Young, which I knew full good and well isn't a possibility. and this is later on in their age too. You know what I mean? And these guys are young, but man, those two ladies put them through it. Dear Lord, I had tears in my eyes. It was great.
Well, that's great. I can just imagine what that was like, because Moolah ran that wrestling school, and she didn't take no for an answer. She tore people up. And that's the way it had to be, because that's what brought the crowd in. Dallas said something to me. It was really interesting. He said it to me yesterday. He said, you know, even if the card was kind of dull or whatever, when those two gals got in the ring, they tore it up. I mean, they completely changed the complexion of the crowd and everything. Dallas, that's what you told me, right?
Glad to.
Yes, that I remember watching them several times, and it was sort of kind of like the crowd wasn't really doing much, and then those girls came out and got up in the ring, and next thing you know, everyone's cheering and screaming, and it just turned the Coliseum around. So,
absolutely, it did. Now, Papa Stro, you've got.
Yeah.
One of my favorite wrestling stories about you, Dusty Rhodes, and Andre the Giant. Do you mind sharing that? I want Dallas and, of course, everybody else to hear this story. I think it's wonderful. And you know the one I'm talking about, right?
I believe I do, actually. This was some years back, and so my aunt and uncle used to live down near Tampa, and I used to go to some of the wrestling shows, and you know, see Steve Kerr and the Grahams, Dusty Rhodes, Blackjack Mulligan, and again. And one of the events I was at, I was outside the building, right? And here comes Andre the Giant, pulls up in the parking lot with his head above the car roof, right? And he's like literally bigger than the car he's driving, right? So he parks the car, and he just got off set being the Bionic Sasquatch for the $6 Million Man series with Lee Majors, right? So he had the big bushy hair and everything. He was, like, coming towards me, and it was the first time in my life I felt like I was that much lower in the food chain. I really thought he was going to eat me, seriously. And I was so scared. I was scared I couldn't even move, right? You know, you get so scared you can't even, like, budge. And Dusty came over to me, and at the time I thought Dusty saved my life, but he pretty much was trying to break the ice with me and Andre, right? And he was like, hey kid, Don't worry about a thing. Andre is cool. Andre, say hello, baby. And Andre sticks his hand down, looks down at me and says, how do you do, right? And his hand, his hand touched my hand. I couldn't even see my hand at all. It like disappeared because his hands were so freaking big. But he was such a nice guy. And it was so relieving that he was because, I mean, my God, I mean, he's still to this day. Yeah, I've seen a lot of big guys through the years. Still to this day, he's like the biggest human being I've ever met in my life.
That is very true. He is a very, very big man.
Well, Dallas, you had a story that I really liked about you and Dusty Rhodes. You and Andre the Giant when you were a kid.
Well, yeah, actually, it's Dusty Rhodes Senior, Andre the Giant, and there was Rowdy Rowdy Piper. I'm originally from the West Coast, and I spoke to up in Seattle, Washington, and it was held in the Sonics basketball stadium. And
That's a nice area. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I believe back then it wasn't even called WWF, and I think it was called Bad Time Wrestling or something like that. And I think Mr. McMahon was an announcer at the time. And I remember we were sitting on the fourth level, right where the guys were coming through, and I was getting really, really antsy, and so I had gotten up, and I was running around, some of the other guys had come through, the match before Andre's was, it was Junkyard Dog and another guy, and I ran back into where the tables were, they had blocked off, and here come this giant. I come around the corner, I bumped into his leg, and I literally like just froze. And he reached down and he literally picked me up. It was like having a seatbelt on because he had my butt in his palm, and his thumb and his middle finger were around my waist. And he lifted me up and he goes, "What's your name?" And I go, "My name's Dallas." And my dad had come around the corner and bumped right into his down below his sternum. And my dad went red as can be. And he's like, I'm sorry. And so he sat me up on the bleacher. And he went on into the ring. And he was wrestling Bad Brooks that night. And Rowdy Rowdy Piper had come running out. Dog chain, and I'm up against the rails, and he jumped up, I don't know, he pulled over the ring, and Andre caught the chains, and Bad Brooks rolled out from underneath the ropes, and Andre was talking on the mic, he's like, "You won first fight, you have the fight from November 16th, and that was a really good moment, and first time to fight, I got Dusty Rhodes Senior right next to me, and I want to be a wrestler. I want to be a wrestler." And he's like, "You can do anything you want. Dreams are made to be fulfilled." And he patted me on my head and went on down because he was next to wrestle. It was the coolest thing. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Those guys were something else. They really were.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you had some great experiences meeting the best of the best, Andre the Giant, and of course, the great Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, who's one of my Mount Rushmore picks. Dusty Rhodes is for sure. And so I'm glad you got to kind of recount some of these stories with Papa Stro and hear his great story about Andre. How do you do? That's the funny. Whenever I think of Papa Stro, whenever I think of you, I think of two things. How do you do? And then Papa Stro, if you don't mind, you have to tell it so much because I ask you to. My favorite story from the Vancouver area, and the one that Roddy Piper told you, does that ring a bell? kind sir.
Oh, my God. Piper told the best road stories. Oh, my God. I miss Roddick so much, man. Rod was amazing, amazing man. Matter of fact, he was one of my influences, getting into film, because guys like him, Uncle Terry Funk, Pepper Martin, kind of paved the way for the wrestlers to do the crossover into the mainstream film industry like we see now with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena, and a few others. And, of course, Hulk Hogan. Those guys really paved the way. And Piper, man, he told me this one story, and I told Dr. John several times. And today it's like one of the greatest road stories ever. It was back in the 70s, right, when they had the territory, Pacific Northwest, up your way, actually, originally your way, right? And Sandy Barr was the promoter at the time, and I think Piper had somewhat to do with the booking, somewhat. And they were going to debut this guy named Batman, who dressed like Batman, had a Batman cape and all, just like, the Batman suit and all. But they couldn't call him Batman, obviously, because the copyright thing. But they called him Batman, but he still had the bat suit, right? And the deal was, on their live TV, they're going to have the commentators talk with one of the villain wrestlers. I think that time was Al Madrid, who had wrestled in World Class Championship Wrestling in Texas and all that. And he was going to cut the promo with the commentator. And here comes Batman at ringside, jumps on top of the table like a superhero and says, "Hey, I'm Batman," right? But keep in mind, this is 1970 somewhat TV. There's no 5-second delay. There's no editing. So if you screw up the live TV, oh well, right? What can you do? So the show starts, right? Al Madrill talks to the commentator ringside. Here comes Batman suit and all, right? Runs out to ringside, jumps on top of the table, slips, falls, busts his rear end on the floor. And the crowd is like howling, laughing, right? And Al looks at the commentator in shock, and the commentator sticks the microphone down to Batman, who's messed up on the floor, and says, "Who are you?" And Batman, he's laying there, right, like so out of it. He's later saying, "I'm Batman. Tell all your friends." And it gets better. Oh God, it gets better, because later on in the show he has the debut match of Batman, right? So here comes Batman later in the show, once again, running to the ring with a bat suit on, right? He starts his match with the guy. They go at it, boom, boom, boom. He slams the guy, climbs the top rope, extends his hands like he's going to give him like a Jimmy Superfly Snuka splash, right? But what he doesn't realize, they're like in the TV studio, kind of like the Memphis Championship Wrestling days with Jerry the King Lawler, right? He doesn't realize there's loose wires protruding into the top of the building, right? And when he went to extend his hand before he jumped off the top, one of his hands accidentally touches one of these wires. Sparks flew, blacks out the whole joint. People are screaming, "Oh God," freaking out, right? About like 20 some seconds later, the lights come back on, and here's a smoking Bat Man on the top rope, falls down, back down to the ring like a dead tree. The canvas, boom, right? Missed the guy like a mile in the ring. The referee doesn't know what to do, so he takes the out of it Bat Man, puts him on top of the guy, and counts 1, 2, 3. So that was the beginning and the shocking end, no pun intended, of Bat Man.
That's hilarious.
That was strong. Papa Stroh, we have got to get that down on film. We've got to, because that has got to be the greatest wrestling story in history.
I wanted to put it so bad. I've talked to some of the wrestlers that said they were actually there that night when it happened, and they did just laugh and hysterically when they talk about it. But I can't do Piper justice. Piper just, he's so hilarious the way he told that story. Oh, my God. It was the best.
Well, good. Well, maybe we can get his son to tell it if he ever told it to him. But that's great, Papa Stro. Thank you for those great reminiscences of Andre the Giant and Matt Man through the eyes of Roddy Piper. I mean, just it's just great stuff. People love it. Dallas, I know you grew up with it like I did, and we just love professional wrestling. We loved what these guys did. They gave us heroes to think about and watch what they did and just have a great time in our lives. So Papa Stro, again, I keep saying this, but thank you for everything you've done. You've meant so much to all of us. And so I tell you what, Dallas, do you have any questions you'd like to ask Papa Stro before we go to our Murder 1-2-3 segment?
I just would like to thank you for all the wonderful years of good memories and a lot of fun. I mean, I pretty much lived in front of the TV when it was time for wrestling. So, and I hope that someday I get the privilege to actually shake your hand.
Well, Dallas,
oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Thank you so much.
When I first met him, okay. Now, my mm-hmm. kids made us watch wrestling every week. We constantly had it. We had WWE on. They had to have, you know, the jackets, the shirts, the pants, you name it, they had to have it, all the stuffed animals and everything. But when I met Papa Stro the first time, I did not realize exactly who he was. Okay? So I met him because he was going to be at a Comic-Con that I was speaking at for John. So
yeah.
I just met him, and I thought, oh, this is just the sweetest guy ever. He's like a big, giant teddy bear.
Yeah.
You know, and we hit it off from the get-go. I thought he was just an absolute sweetheart. So then him and John came and stayed at my house one weekend. Loved having him here. He's welcome at my home anytime, day or night. He knows it. And I've seen him on and off for the last year. You know, we've had dinner together, whatever. I didn't realize what a big deal he was until after I met him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, nobody – I didn't realize it. You know, he was just the super awesome, sweet teddy bear guy that I'm so
mm-hmm.
proud to call my friend. But when I met him, I didn't know what a superstar he was.
Yeah.
Now I do,
yeah.
But I didn't then.
And,
yeah.
And
what I was going to say, Dallas – is I'm gonna invite Papa Stro down to Lexington as soon as we get everything kind of put together. Papa Stro, if we can work it in your schedule, will you come down to meet the people of Lexington and hang out with us in Dallas and have a good time?
I'd love to. It'd be great to see you
guys. Stay here like you normally do. You guys can
awesome.
Just stay here.
Okay, great.
Thank you
so much. We'll do that, and Papa Stro will. Of course, the Monday night before that, Papa Stro can tell all the hilarious stories about the first night that I stayed at Robin's house with him, and it was petrifying.
I'll let you wait on that one.
Oh yes, it has been. So it's been a lot of fun, and thanks Rob, because I get to call you Rob, and we've had a lot of adventures. We've got another adventure with Wrestling Tonight coming. We've got more adventures with Scary Cast, and we'll be bringing you down to Lexington and all those folks. And I know, by the way, Papa Stro, you and I have this game. You have wrestled in Lexington before, haven't you?
Oh, many times.
Dallas, he has wrestled in every town that I have ever mentioned to him, and the funniest one was Cordova, North Carolina. The only place you can wrestle is this volunteer fire department, and it's only like 7 feet tall, and you put the ring up, and you got like 5 feet, and I said, have you wrestled in Cordova? He said, yeah, and you don't have any headroom, and I knew he'd wrestled in Cordova, North Carolina. It was just so funny, yes, because I think I've announced him many of the most podunk places in the world, but Papa Stro, when he was out there traveling with Smoky Mountain and with all those great NWA franchises and WWF and WWE, he has wrestled everywhere, and Thanks for all the great things that you've done. And now it's time to get to our Murder 123. I'm really excited about this because now, Dallas, I'm going to introduce you as a new and different person. And please,
okay,
if I get this wrong, let me know. But Robin started talking to Dallas about, oh, a variety of pop culture things and events. And then all of a sudden I heard Dallas talking about Marilyn Monroe. Now, would you please explain your relationship, Dallas, with Marilyn Monroe?
Marilyn Monroe is my third cousin. My brother was adopted by my second cousin, Les, and my third cousin, Les, and my brother, Leslie, that's his name too, he was actually adopted by my cousin, my grandmother's cousin, Les, and he actually had Marilyn's birth certificate,
which we think we'll be able to show a copy of in a couple weeks, correct?
Oh, I can get that to you anytime you want it.
Yeah,
well,
in fact, I was lucky. I got to talk to him as well, and he's just as sweet as can be.
Well, that's great. So what we want to do, and we're going to do this on ScaryCast, Papa Stro, we're going to have the whole crowd and kind of go back through what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight is kind of like the introduction to the world of Marilyn Monroe. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read the Plain Jane biography. And what it does is it ends with the following statement. Well, there are a number of conspiracy theories that have gone along with the death of Marilyn Monroe, period. Now, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, Papa Stro, you may not be thrilled with my conspiracy theory of Anna Nicole Smith, but when it comes to Marilyn Monroe, Papa Stro, do you think something's up with Marilyn Monroe and her death?
Controversy surrounds that whole deal, especially with her relationship with her and the Kennedys. And the Kennedys alone have had a world of issues. And so, yeah, it's that definite cloud around the whole Marilyn Kennedy situation.
Right, absolutely. I agree. And Robin, do you think there are some conspiracies around? Okay. And
absolutely.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Dallas and I talked about this the other day.
Really?
Yeah, we were, Sunday we were talking about it.
Yeah, him and I are on the same page with it.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, we must stop for a minute and give tribute and give a shout-out to VSC Nation, who carries ScaryCast every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And then what follows on ScaryCast right after 11 p.m., we're on at 10 p.m., and then at 11 p.m., Papa Stro is there with, and tell us all about it, Papa Stro.
Oh, yeah, the Stro Zone, every Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. And each Friday night we feature a horror and sci-fi classic for you guys to enjoy, so please tune in.
And now what is coming, what are we going to be looking forward to this Friday night at midnight?
This is a sci-fi film from the 80s, actually, Battle Beyond the Stars. So this was Star Wars, I want to say 70s, 80s, I'll have to look at the date, but this was Star Wars before Star Wars, basically.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was 70.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Saxon was the main villain in this one, actually. He was like a Darth Vader in this movie.
he starred in every kind of bad film
Oh yeah, John Saxon. Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, John Saxon, Robert Vaughn's in it.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Oh my God.
Yes, that was a very good show. I used to watch it.
So yes, the film Battle Beyond the Stars will be the feature this Friday night. Can't wait.
Oh, cool.
All right, so everybody join it. That's midnight, and then we are there an hour before at 11 p.m. ScaryCast, thanks to VSC Nation, and thanks to Brady Hicks. And now, Papa Stro, we can hear you tomorrow night, Tuesday night, In the Room at 9 p.m. with Brady Hicks. And you guys have a great time there, don't you?
Yes, it's In the Room. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Well, actually Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We interview special guests and take callers from all over. It's always a good time.
That's great. And then, of course, Thursday night, the big event, the main event, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. on VOC Nation. And Papa Stro, what do we got going on this week? Because you all... Wonderful guest,
and
we always have a great time.
Yes, we talk about nostalgia, wrestling from back in the day, old school matches, dream matches, etc. So it's going to be another wild, wild west of podcasts, as I like to allude to right there, the WWE Retro. It should be a good time.
It is a wild, wild west of podcasts. That's a great phrase. We're going to have to start using that. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And everybody should come join us, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Thursday night on the one and only VSC Nation. And so thanks, VSC Nation, for putting us on. Now we've got to get back to, oh, gosh, what were we talking about, Papa Stro? What were we talking about before I broke in and gave this?
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, Marilyn Monroe. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to
not
read
Anna Cole,
the condensed.
Marilyn Monroe.
not Anna Nicole. That's right. Now, now Dallas, I'm going to have to tell you this weekend about Anna Nicole. It'll frighten you, okay?
Yeah.
It frightens everybody when I tell about Anna Nicole and the fact that she is living in North Myrtle Beach right now. But anyway, we'll get on to the wonderful, the great. And I think this bio talks about Marilyn Monroe in a way that a lot of people did not know about her. Because Marilyn Monroe was born Norma Jean Mortensen on June 1st, 1926, and she died on August 4th, 1962. American actress and film producer and script consultant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you there?
She came in the early 1960s, and she was really emblematic of the era's changing attitudes towards sexuality. She was a top-billed actress after only one decade, but her films grossed, now get this, over $200 million, the equivalent of $2 billion in today's money, by the time of her death in 1962. Long after her death, she has continued to become a major icon in pop culture. She was born and raised in Los Angeles. She spent a lot of her childhood in foster homes and orphanages, and then she was married at the age of 16. She was working in a factory as part of the World War II effort, and she met a photographer from the first motion picture unit and began a successful career as a pinup model, which is kind of interesting, you know, and we know that. But over the next several years, she became a very popular actress with roles in, you know, several comedies, including As Young As You Feel, and Monkey Business, and in the dramas Clash by the Night and Don't Bother to Knock. She faced several scandals when it was found out that she had posed for nude photos taken before she was a star, but that really didn't bother
her image and everything, people just took it in stride. And instead, it resulted in an increased interest in her films. By 1953, she was one of the most marketable of all of the Hollywood stars. She had leading roles in films like Niagara, which focused on her sex appeal, and in comedies Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and How to Marry a Millionaire. And that... A significant role in the creation and management of her public image throughout her career, and she was really disappointed when she was typecast and underpaid by the studios. She was apparently suspended for a while in early 1954 when she refused to be in a film project, but she returned to be a star in The Seven-Year Itch with Billy Wilder, which was one of her biggest box office successes of her career. She continued to become more of a producer of her career than anything else. And by the early 60s, she was perhaps one of the best known and most popular stars in the world. In fact, we discussed on Sunday morning how she looked at John F. Kennedy, who was her boyfriend, and said, "You know what? I can walk out of this room, and I'm more popular than you are." And she might have been right. So I'm going to turn the stage over to you, Dallas, to tell us a little bit more about your sweet little third cousin, Marilyn Monroe.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot about that. I just recently found out within the last 2 years about her. And my cousin, Les Mortensen. He's from Eugene, Oregon. He's the one that knows all of her history. He knows everything about her. I just know that she was an outstanding woman. She was a little bit on the fireball side. Like, you know, when she made up her mind, there was no changing it. And,
woman after my own heart.
Yeah. And then, you know, she sort of kind of like, from what I understand, is that, you know, because of how far she went in the movie industry, that she sort of kind of got to a point where if she wanted to do something, she did it. If she did not want to do something, she said no. And that was the way it was. So, but my cousin Les, my brother's father that adopted him, he'd be the one that would be able to answer all your questions. Are my brother Les?
Well, do you think that we can?
Oh, maybe
get
we'll
Les
have to do a show with him
show
and
in a couple weeks.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. My brother and Les, there would be no problem with them doing this.
You have to be on with
them,
Dallas.
Great.
Yeah, I sort of kind of had a life, sort of kind of like Marilyn Rose. I was in foster care and group homes growing up, and sort of kind of bounced around and. You know, so, I mean, I had a hard road growing up. So, I mean, I could relate with her that way. But I really didn't even know she was my cousin until 2015. One of my uncles told me that I was related to her. And I was like, no way. And then I called my brother because I was told he had her birth certificate. And I asked him, I was like, Wes, I was like, is Marilyn my cousin? He's like, yeah, she's our third cousin. And I have her birth certificate.
I think that's fantastic.
So, well, yeah, it's pretty good. But, you know, just with the history of the whole situation with the Kennedys and everything, you know, it's sort of kind of, even today, it's still sort of kind of hard to swallow.
Yeah.
So.
Well, things
but,
happen.
You know, oh, yeah. So, but I'm just really honored to be
on. Everybody in.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, yeah, that would be great. I would be honored to be able to learn more about my cousin and to be able to share that with the community.
Oh, that we would love it. That would be fantastic.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I would like for us to do some pre-interviews with you and your cousin. and get that information out to our staff, which is Papa Stroh, Tony Filosi, Devin Tate, and Robin and I, so that we can kind of know where this thing is going to go, because I think it's going to, I think it could be somewhat explosive. I'll do a little bit of my research, Papa Stroh, and I know we kind of laugh a little bit about my Anna Nicole Smith research, but I can do some pretty good research. And Papa Stroh, I might even help ask you to help me a little bit with this Marilyn Monroe research, so that we could have some, maybe a slight bombshell to report. Would you help me with that, buddy?
That would be interesting.
That's the closest of a yes I think I could ever get from him on this one. So we'll have a little bit of fun with this, and we'll let everybody know. So Dallas, probably in 2 to 3 weeks, I'll talk with you about this weekend when we have a chance to get together, and we'll see what we can do to get some of your information and start putting it together and go from there. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. And before I get off the air, I had a question for Papa Stroh.
Absolutely, Papa Stroh.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to so you do a lot of charity for kids?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say if there's anything I can do to help you, please, because I also do charity for different places here in Columbia, and I'm real big about helping. Helping kids, and from my background being in a group home in foster care. So if there's
anything I can do to help, just let me know.
Yeah, are you the same with you? If I can donate some time and hang out with you and help you on anything, I would love to.
Hey, thanks a lot. That'd be great.
So.
Yeah, he does some great things, and I tell you what. When we get him down to Lexington, just at our shop and next to yours and everything, maybe Dallas, we can work out an event that Papa and you and Robin and I, we can all be there as part of the Scary Cast crew, and we can help and do something to raise money for kids. I think it would be a great thing. So, Papa Stroh,
well, like
Robin,
I said,
I'll do.
Next,
yeah,
go ahead. No, I was going to say next time when he comes down to Lexington, usually you guys crash here. We'll get Dallas over here, and you guys can sit down and talk about fundraisers and different things you want to do.
Yeah,
well,
something
worked out.
That would be very great. You know, when I moved to Columbia, South Carolina in 2013, I found out about a boys and girls home that's called Upwards here in Columbia, South Carolina. And it really touched my heart because, they really struggle month to month with their budget. So I was working at the farmer's market, Columbia Farmer's Market at the time, and I started getting some of the produce places there to start donating produce to help them out with the kids, because I think they got, 60 kids there or 66 kids. And then one of the things that's really been on my heart is I do go by there and visit with the kids, and some of the older kids, after they get to be between 10 and 18, adoption systems are not there for them. So I'm really trying to figure out a way to get families to start taking in some of the older kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, 10 and 12 doesn't seem very old. And they sure do need a chance. So that's a great thing that you're doing, Dallas. And we'll see.
Awesome.
I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful
that's fantastic.
Project for us to work with. Papa Stroh, when we get you down there, we'd love to see what we can do to help them raise money and do some of the things that will help those kids. So, Dallas, thanks a lot for that. We really
I would like to say something about Dallas. As John knows, and Rob, you know this too, I read energy, okay? Dallas, I do a lot of weird stuff. But anyway, Dallas, I met him for the first time this past weekend. And I tell you what, he is one hell of a person. He really is. His energy is so good, it's unbelievable. I think you guys are going to absolutely love him, because he has just got the kindest, gentlest heart. And to watch him interact with the people there was incredible. It was an honor to watch him just because of the way he is with people. He's so kind and so warm and so respectful of everybody that comes by. I mean, he's just incredible. Rob, you're going to absolutely love him when you meet him.
Oh, I can't wait to meet him, really.
I just wanted to put that out there because he really is. He's just an amazing person.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Well, I mean it sincerely. Like I said, it was absolutely incredible to meet you. I'm thrilled we're right across from you over there just because you're a wonderful person. You really and truly are. You deserve all good things.
Oh, yes. I just want to tell you thank you very much. That means a lot to me, you know, to have someone that's showing a little bit of respect. You know, I do a lot for the community, and sometimes, you know, I do feel like, you know, I'm not recognized or anything like that, which I'm not really, you know, I'm not a spotlight kind of guy. I don't need to be on a camera or nothing, but it's just nice to hear someone.
Yeah, you should be acknowledged for it. Like I said, Rob knows me and John knows me, of course, and I deal with a lot of paranormal stuff basically 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. And I read energy and I do a lot of different things with energy. And yours is wonderful. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you really don't realize what a good person you are. I mean, I think you think you're an okay guy, but I don't think you realize how good you really are. So it's definitely a blessing to have met you.
Yes, and it's
a
blessing to
me. You're a true hero, man. You're a true hero. Just keep on being you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I put one foot in front of the other. And I, you know, even though Dusty Rose isn't here with us today, you know, he left a memorable moment in my life, you know, at the age of 4.5, 5 years old. So, and, you know, he just told me that I could do anything I wanted to if I put my mind to it. And so I run with that. So, and want to tell you thank you again for everything that you've done in my life as far through the TV. So.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for being you. It's been such a pleasure this evening being here on the show with you, really.
Yes, when he told me that you were going to be on the show, oh, my God, I got butterflies. I feel like a 13-year-old boy again.
Well, we were talking, and then you were telling John, and I was like, "Oh no, he's got to be on the show. He has to."
Absolutely.
Can I share one more story with him?
Of course.
Sure.
Okay, so back in '87, we watched. Me and my friend. I was staying at my grandparents at the time. I was living with them, and You and Macho Man Randy Savage and a bunch of other people just got over with, and we were outside in the backyard playing. And my friend Pete, he was a lot bigger than me, and we had a trampoline. And we used to get up on the trampoline and use it as our wrestling ring. And he would always get the best of me. Well, I was determined to get the best of him. And so I come running. I jump up there, and I went at him like a spear. And I knocked him down finally. Well, my grandfather had just bought a brand new motorhome, like a brand new coach, and he had the canvas hanging out. And I climb up this ladder, and I go to jump onto the trampoline on top of my friend Pete. Well, Pete moves out of the way. I bounce like a rabbit right off of the trampoline and went straight through my grandfather's new canvas. And, put it this way, I woke up the next morning. We didn't have a trampoline. My grandfather got rid of it. So,
wow.
So, we spent a lot of time at the hospital getting our fingers fixed or our arms casted up. I mean, I was really really addicted to wrestling when I was younger. So. But,
well, if you want to do it, you still can.
I'm in my 50s. My dream. I would just love to be able to be able to meet some of the superstars that you know that wrestled. I got to be Sable in 96 or 97 in Chicago, the night Shawn Michaels wrestled Goldust for the heavyweight champion, Dusty Rhodes Jr. And Mark Merrow was married to her at the time. And he had left the Coliseum. And I was actually standing back there because I wanted to meet the Ultimate Warrior, and because he wrestled Vader that night. Well, Mark had ran out, and Sable was still trying to make her way through the crowd. Well, the door shut in front of her, so I opened the door, and she walked by and said, thank you. And it was like, that was like a dream come true. And I never got to meet I wanted to meet Elizabeth, but I never got to meet her. And then I'd like to meet you. And I do watch wrestling once in a while now. I work a lot, but there's a new gal. They call her the Man. She's got that's her stage name, and she's got like red hair. I just love her to death. She's really spunky, and she's always wrestling with Rick's daughter and Ronda Rousey.
Oh yeah, Becky Lynch. Yeah,
Becky Lynch. I want to meet her so bad. So I'm just I just like her personality and who she is. So.
Yeah, and, that's great. Do you know who you'll get to meet?
What's that?
I said, who knows who you'll get to meet through Scary Cast and through Wrestling Tonight and all these great podcasts and all of our friends, especially Papa Stro. He knows a lot of people, so we'll see.
Papa Stro, did you ever get to meet? Do you remember a wrestler by the name of Superstar 2?
Superstar, was it the Masked Superstar?
He was a solo wrestler, and I believe he was a Spanish. I think he was a Spanish guy. He wore a white mask that had trimmed in black around his nose and his mouth. And he was known for that super kick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He used to wrestle a lot with, I believe it's The Rock's grandfather, Shinooka. Or what's his name?
Maivia? Chief Maivia?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't remember all the wrestlers' names from like way back when I was really little, but if I saw them today, I would know who they are. So,
right.
But like Superstar 2 was like probably one of my favorite wrestlers when I was like really, really, really little, besides Andre. And then I was a really big fan of your grandfather's too, by the way.
Oh so. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, it's back in those days, man. So many greats. And I remember when I was in Mexico, and a buddy of mine, he's a wrestler by the name of Octagon. He had like a shrine of, because masks are like really big in Mexico, right? And he had a shrine, a mask of some of the great luchadors from years ago, right? And at the very top was his mask of El Santo, who in Mexico was like a living legend, right? And he was. Just like we talked about the wrestlers crossing over to Hollywood, El Santo was one of the first to make that crossover, you know, from Mexico to the film, different films from back in the day. So, yeah, good, man, great stuff.
Oh yeah, lots of good. There's lots of good legends. So, but I appreciate you guys bringing me on here tonight and being able to have the privilege to talk to this wonderful man.
Oh,
I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we're glad you're a fan, and always be a fan of Papa Stro and be a fan of Scary Cast and Wrestling Tonight. And we're just glad to have you. We're going to have you here in a couple weeks to talk more about Marilyn Monroe and your family's interconnection with her and everything. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And so now I got to make sure that we all know, if you are listening to Scary Cast on Friday night at 11 to 11:55 p.m., you know that in 5 minutes Papa Stro is going to be there with Dorothy on the Stro Zone. And the name of the movie is Papa Stro. What is it?
Battle Beyond the Stars. Can't wait.
That'll be absolutely awesome. So everybody stay in tune on midnight on Friday night for Battle Beyond the Stars with Papa Stro and Dorothy on the Stro Zone. We want to thank our guest, Dallas Woodard. Thank you, Dallas. Well, of course, we want to thank our host, our co-host, Robin McCray. Robin, thank you for being here with us from the Midlands of South Carolina.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. We're so glad to have you. And we'll all be back next week, next Monday night on ScaryCast, the scariest hour on Internet radio. So, look, thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one, Papa Stro.
Sounds great. Take care, everybody.
Good luck on
that. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Nice meeting you.
You too, Dallas. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, come on.